God is good here today. He's good every day. But he's in this place. He's got things for us to do here. It's a blessing to be connected somewhere. Amen. Love looking out here. It looks like we've got a nice family group here today, except for my husband. So, you know, last week he picked on me a little bit. So I have free reign this week. Listen, he repented in me. He said, I think I put my foot in my mouth a little bit, you know, and I said, I think you did. He said, I never want to make you look bad. That is never my heart. I said, I know it's not. Just be careful next time. I haven't cooked any dinners this week, let me just tell you. I love the Word of God. Are you excited for His Word here today? Well, today's message is called, Don't Be a Know-It-All. Oh boy, don't tune me out before I get started. Because we all like what we like, and we all think we know best, don't we? But we're going to get into this today. Praise God. We're going to start with 2 Corinthians 13. And I'm actually, 13 and verse 5, I'm actually going to read it in the Weist translation. And this is just more understanding based on the original language. You know, there are some Bibles that are more for study, more for understanding, and some that will just kind of give you the paraphrased version of what the Lord's trying to say. But I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, You be putting yourselves to the test whether you are in the faith. Be putting yourselves to the test for the purpose of approving yourselves. Notice it's not talking about you putting someone else to the test. It's talking about you putting yourself to the test for the purpose of approving yourselves and finding that you meet the specifications. Put your approval upon yourselves. Or do you yourselves not recognize that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are those who are disapproved? You be putting yourself to the test. What does that mean? It means that in our walk with the Lord, it is our job to continually reflect on the things we're learning, continually reflect on the things we're reading in the Word, continually reflect on the things that are being ministered to you in your church, and for you to look inwardly and say, am I doing that? Am I correcting that? Am I going in that direction? Am I staying the course? You're not, you know, we do a really great job, or we think we do, of judging the person sitting next to us about whether or not they're doing it right. But do we do that to ourselves? We're to look inwardly. And now don't twist what I'm saying. We're not to focus on us all the time. It's not a you do you life. But it is important for us to look and say, hey, am I getting what God wants me to get out of His Word? Am I doing what He wants me to do with His Word? Am I passing the test? We're supposed to look inwardly. And that shouldn't scare us, because God said in His Word that who He loves, He corrects, He chastens. He wants to steer us in the right direction. But we've got to look inwardly and make sure that we're letting Him impact our heart to help show us those things we need to do. Why is it that people always think they know more than they know? Why? Why do we think we know more than we know? We do, and you hear it, you know those know-it-alls. Nobody likes a know-it-all. But are you a know-it-all? Are you a know-it-all? Do you know enough already? Do you know? Are there any areas of your life that you're like, I know that already? Because if you think you know, you don't know. Right. I think that was like a saying, if you think you know, you have no idea. We always think other people are wrong and we are right. If we're saying and doing different things, or if we totally disagree with somebody else, something's amiss. Somebody's wrong, or we both are, and probably we both are. Because we're always thinking we know more than we know. I love this. Be putting yourselves to the test for the purpose of approving yourselves. And what is that approving? You approve of you? No, it's would the Lord approve of this? Would the Lord approve of these thoughts that I'm hanging on to? Would the Lord approve of these words that I'm saying? Would the Lord approve of what I'm doing? You know, I love this. We know Jesus lives on the inside of us. We love to say that. I'm a born-again believer. Jesus lives on the inside of me. I got the power of Jesus living on the inside of me. But then we're there watching that dirty movie, and we're like, oh, no, Jesus doesn't know I'm doing this. No, He knows, and you're making Him watch it too. Do you test what you're doing and make sure that it would be approved in the sight of God? Let's pull up 1 Thessalonians 5:21. we can. You can turn there if you want to, but it's a quick verse, so by the time I read it, you might already be, or not even near there. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Test all things and hold fast what is good. Everything you do in life, you should put to the test.
Yes.
You really should. You know, when I wake up in the morning, did I come out of bed with the right heart, with the right attitude? Am I still mad at that person? Do I want to still see vengeance at work today? No, really. I mean, we do this. Let's just be real. We do this. We hang on to the person who said something nasty about us yesterday. And we're going to go to work and we're going to make sure that they know we're ticked. We're going to give them that look or not look in their eyes. We'll talk to them, but we'll look like this the whole time. Some of you do that in church.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. No, it's true.
Yeah.
We test our hearts. Are we doing this to people? Yeah. Are we angry when we get out of bed? Are we mad at God? Are we so distracted with life that we won't even give God the time of day? We've all been there. I have been there, too.
Yeah.
I've probably been there this week. We've all been there, you guys.
Yeah.
But we need to test ourselves, put ourselves to the test every day, everything that we do. You know, the Word of God calls us to be connected with God, in communion with God all the time. Not just in church, not just when I sit down for my daily 10-minute devotional, but all the time.
Yes.
Test all things, hold fast what is good. The Word encourages continually progressing in the knowledge of His Word and His will. And in that knowledge, we don't know something till we do it. You know that you can know all you want about auto mechanics or healthcare, but if you've never had to do it, you could say, you know, I know how to practice brain surgery.
Yeah.
I read it in a book somewhere, and I know that you got to connect this lobe to that, I don't know, this wire to that, no. And then you get in somebody's brain and you jack it all up because you don't know until you do.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with the Word of God. If you've never done it, you don't know. You're not an expert until you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
You can be a hearer of the Word all you want. You can be a reader of the Word all you want. But are you a doer of the Word?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:12. We should never get to a place where we think we've arrived.
You're right.
We should never get to a place where we think enough. We know all we ever need to know. We should be changed by the Word at any time. We should continually be growing in those things. If we were wrong about something before and we see the Word and see it more clearly now and get more revelation and greater understanding about it, we should be able to change our thought process. Our pride should not stop us from growing in the things of God. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is living and powerful. Everybody say, living and powerful.
Living and
powerful. Yep, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That word living, it means active. It is active. It actually does something.
Yeah.
It is not just this dead book that sits there. It's active. The Word of God is alive.
Yes.
Only if you allow it to be alive in your life. And actually, no, it will be alive whether you allow it or not. You can cooperate with it or you can cooperate against it or work against it.
Yeah.
But it's active, blessed, endless in the kingdom of God.
Wow.
The Word of God is active. It's endless in the kingdom of God. It is blessed. The Word of God is blessed. Amen. It means the depth of His Word is never ending. It's eternal. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read, and just keep where you're at. I'm going to read here Romans 11:33 again in the Weiss translation. It says, oh, the depth of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, that depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. That means you never can get to that depth of what God really had in there. You know that we could live a million years on this earth and we still wouldn't come to the end of His wisdom.
Right. Yeah.
So don't think you've arrived, because you're never, as long as you live on this earth, going to come to the end of his wisdom. Right. That should excite us.
Yeah.
Because God is so good that he shows us what we need to know for what we need to know it for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He shows us what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry that we can't go to those depths that he's actually at
right.
fully.
Yeah.
Because he'll show us what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
But that should just show us that we never know enough. That we never have learned enough. You could be serving God for 70, 80, 90 years, and you still don't know everything there is to know about him.
Right.
So you can keep finding out. You ever feel, you know, I mean, my husband and I, most of the stuff in our lives, we kind of know about each other already. There's once in a while a little thing here and there that I'm like, I never knew that. Or vice versa. He usually doesn't always hear what I say, like sometimes, you know. Especially the other morning, we were sitting there having breakfast, and I'm like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at 5 in the morning, you know, and I'm just like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, true story. Are you hearing me? And he's like, I'm not awake yet. So I just sat there and smiled at me. I was like, you miss half what I say to you because it's usually at 5 in the morning. But other than that, we pretty much know everything there is to know about each other because we spend so much time together in our intimate relationship. We're so connected. But, you know, there's still a little bit here and there that I get to know. But we're humans.
Yeah.
We do have a limit of depth, of understanding, of history, of experience.
Yes.
But God has no limit. We could sit there at breakfast with God every day for our whole entire eternal lives and still learn more about him. Don't be a know-it-all, because you're not a know-it-all. You don't know everything. My iPad wants to shut off. Oh, praise the Lord. It's the word that will show us what God's will is and what's our own mind or will. See, the word of God will cut and divide between our own will and God's will. That's how, and notice that it says it's sharp.
Yeah.
It's sharp and it's powerful. That means that something sharp and powerful is needed to divide our own will from God's will.
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Sure.
I will to do this. God wills this for me, but I don't like it. I want to stay over here. You need something sharp that will help you to divide and conquer, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's the word of God that will do that. The word of God will show you those things that are his will versus those things that are your will. It says it's piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Yes, even to that.
Yeah.
That's how sharp the word is. That stands out to me,
yeah.
That we need something really sharp. So if you've been caught up in your own head a lot,
sure.
I won't make you raise your hands because you probably all have been.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've been caught up in your own head a lot, it's the word of God that's going to help you to see clearly. That's it. That's where it's going to come from. That's the clarity. That's the dividing thing. That's the piercing to the division of soul and spirit, the word of God. All right, let's turn to John 16:12. Yeah, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Even to that, it can even divide between his will and your will. That's pretty good. Not much can do that. Not much can take a stubborn person and change them. But the word of God can even do that. The word of God is like the ultimate tenderizer. I don't even eat meat, but I know what a tenderizer does. My husband says this meat is tender. I know he's saying that's good. The word of God will tenderize your heart, even those people who are the most stubborn. It says in the word that the word is near. Yep, near to everyone.
That's right.
It's really close. It'll tenderize the person you thought would never be tenderized by it. But that's the only thing that can do it. It's the word. Of course, the Holy Spirit operating through the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
We know that when Jesus left, he left us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
But that's where the answers come from. All right, John 16:12, and we're going to read through verse 13. It says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't bear them. This was Jesus talking to the disciples. I've got many things to say to you, but you are not ready. That's really what he's saying. You're not ready for him. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you, and some translations say show you, he will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will show you what you need to know and tell you what you need to know. I was saying that earlier. As you need to know it, you can trust that the Holy Spirit will reveal those things to you. Yeah. But not if you've got a wall up, not if you already know it all. If you trust him, if you say, I don't know all this. I don't know everything I need to know on my own. I can't figure it all out on my own. But I know that the Holy Spirit is good, that Jesus left him here for me, that the Lord had that planned all along, and he would show me and tell me things that I needed to know. But notice that the apostles, there were things that they couldn't know right away because they weren't ready for them. I believe that still applies to us. Yeah. There are things that we're not ready for, that things that we need to grow into and walk into. And that we need to have more understanding before we can see them clearly. Yeah. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Yeah. We don't know it all. There's some learning and growing that we all need to do. Yeah. Holy Spirit is so good, though, and he'll show us things we need to see. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 3. Love the word. Yeah. Verses 1 and 2. And I, brothers and sisters, this is again the Apostle Paul, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Wow. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Sounds kind of like what Jesus said, right? Yeah. I can't speak to you about everything yet because you're not ready for it. Yeah. What prevents us from being ready to fully understand and engage in what God has for us? It's this.
Yeah.
It's all this stuff.
Yeah.
This flesh.
Right.
This flesh. Gets in the way a lot.
Yeah.
I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Notice that the more carnal we are, the more immature we are, the more of a baby we are.
Yeah.
I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Hopefully, as we go on with our walk with the Lord, we start being able to chew on a little bit more than a bottle of milk.
Yeah.
We start to be able to understand a little bit more of the depth of the Word of God than just that God is good,
yeah.
That God loves you. Those are milk. That's milk. That he saved you, that Jesus died for you. That's milk.
Yeah.
But then as we get on and on, oh gosh, he saved me for a purpose.
Right.
Okay, that's some solid food I'm chewing on now. There's more for me to get out of this, for me to understand. Oh, and then we start to get walking out what that purpose actually is. That's like the steak, the tender one, that I've never eaten. You are still, even still, you are not able. We should be progressing, not progressive revelation. I hesitate to use that wordage, that verbiage, because that's like kind of a whole thought process that's actually not right, but it's like modernizing the Word of God. I don't believe in that, but I do believe our revelation should be progressive,
yes.
That our revelation and our knowledge of the Word should be progressing.
Right.
It's important, and the Word tells us that. You've got to grow. You shouldn't be needing milk all the time.
Right.
Romans 12:2, we're just going to read it. It says, because you all should know it, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the Weiss translation, it says, change your outward expression to one that comes from within and is representative of your inner being by the renewing of your mind, resulting in your putting to the test what is the will of God. That good and well, pleasing and complete will.
Yeah.
You putting to the test. So you're supposed to tap in to that inner being and put to the test what's that perfect will of God. What God would call complete and good and lacking nothing. That's what we're supposed to tap into instead of the things of this world.
Yeah.
So instead of conforming our thoughts to this world, we transform them by that inside, Holy Spirit-filled, born-again believer taps into God's will. And we do that through the Word of God. That's first. The Word of God is first. We should be constantly putting to the test what we know, how we think, what we do, what we say, always testing ourselves. If you didn't know this yet, you are in charge of you. Everybody say, I'm in charge of me. See, we get real cocky. I can do what I want. I'm in charge of me. Yeah, see how it works out when you live for you without living for God. You're in charge of you, but your goal would be to let God lead you to make sure you're making the right decisions. Amen? You do you, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Word of God. Amen. In natural terms, if we were satisfied with basic learning, not much would get done. There's this book I've seen out there before, and I never read it, and I don't think the heart of it is this. But it says, everything I ever needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Anybody ever heard about that book? I'm not saying go read that. But when I read that title, I kind of chuckle, because knowing only what in kindergarten. The heart behind that is that the character was what they learned. You know, they learned that early on, the good character traits. But when I think about that, I think about what a world would look like if we were all at a kindergarten learning level. Yeah. No one could drive, probably wouldn't burn houses down. If a house could ever even get built, right? I mean, think about that. It's kind of silly to think about everything at a kindergarten five-year-old level. The whole world is five-year-olds. Everything in the world is five-year-olds. What would that look like? It would be, I know, it's funny, right? Laying there in bed, I was like, oh gosh, this would look like this. This would be hysterical. I mean, every single thing would be different if the world was only, you know, five-year-old level, the whole world. Yeah. Well, think about that spiritually. Yeah. If we're all milk, eating babies, in our walk with the Lord, what gets done? Right. What gets done for the kingdom of heaven? Right. If we all are babies, we're not doing much. Right. And so our goal would be, I don't want to be the one having to be taken care of at 50 years old or 60 years old, or I don't want to have to carry my, you know, 20-year-old around on a hip sack. Right? We want to progress. We want to be who God made us to be. We want to be the ones doing the work of the kingdom. Amen. Yeah. So we don't want to be, you know, that at that five-year-old level forever. Amen. Yeah. It happens all the time in Christianity that we kind of stay at that place of not growing. All right, we're going to go to 2 Timothy. Praise the Lord. Now, Timothy was a pastor, and he was raised up under the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul wrote 1 and 2 Timothy to Timothy to help him in his walk as a pastor, to help him understand what was needed to pastor that flock. However, I believe the principles in the books of Timothy will be good for us all as a standard that we should try to achieve. Yeah. You know, of living right, of righteousness, of being holy, of being pure. You know, because if God calls a minister to be at a standard, a high standard of righteousness and living right for him, then I believe that that's his heart for all of us, because we're all called to minister and we're all parts of the same body. But so I'm going to read in 2 Timothy 2 and 2, verse 2, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified, but you open it in whatever Bible you have. It says, and the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, trust, listen, as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others also. Now listen, Timothy wasn't an apostle. Timothy wasn't raising up, you know, other pastors per se. Right. He was a shepherd, shepherding his flock, teaching people like I am today. And the word says here to transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful people, right? Faithful men and women who are competent and qualified to teach others also. Think about that. You're here today not just for you. There's actually a ministry for every single one of you. Is it a pulpit ministry? I don't believe that that would work out very well, because how could we do that? Who would come to your church if every single person was the pastor? You couldn't do it. Everybody's five-year-olds, it wouldn't work very well. We have different roles and purposes. So I don't believe that that's what that's saying here. I believe what the word is saying here is that you're all getting a deposit of the word of God, and you're supposed to take that to your realm of influence. Yes. And you're supposed to use that word to teach others within your realm of influence. Yeah. You are a minister of the gospel.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I don't care if you're 6, if you're 7, if you're 8, if you're 40. I skipped a lot of numbers in between. I don't care how old you are. You are a minister of the gospel. You are meant to take that deposit that's put on the inside of you and minister it to others, whether it's your neighbors or your coworkers or the people at Walmart. I think there's a song about that and some memes about that. You are meant to be the minister. I actually found that to be quite interesting. And it says that you should be competent and qualified. We're going to look at Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. How much time? Oh, I'm doing great on time. You are a minister of the gospel, and you should be taking what you receive here as that deposit, and you should be taking it out there in a competent and qualified way. Qualified because you're a doer of it, not a hearer only.
Yeah.
In a competent and qualified way, you should be bringing that word to the world. Yeah. That is how we do it. If you are a business owner, if you are a school teacher, you know, if you are a student in a school, your influence is there. Yeah. Use it. Use it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It says, in Hebrews 6, 1, it says, therefore, leaving the discussion, let's leave the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, and let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. These are like the milk things of the word.
Yeah.
Of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Those are the milk. Let's lay those things. We should know those by now.
Right.
Jesus died for us. He was raised again. We know that, right? We know what baptism looks like. We know that, water baptism is a representation of what Jesus did for us, that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. We understand these things. There's a lot in that. I'm not going there today. But it says we're to leave the elementary conversations behind. Now, yes, sometimes we need reminders, and of course, new people come in, and we need to teach certain principles again and again. But at some point, we should progress beyond that of God is good, if he saved us, to what now is our role in all of this. You know, I was talking to a family member this week, not saved, and she was telling me that she went back to college later in life. And I was sitting there with her, and she, I didn't ask, I didn't press for questions, but she said, you know, I realized one day I had been justifying my life that I'm doing something important in this job she was doing that wasn't very important in her eyes, or really anyone's. It was considered something not very valuable in life. And she said, you know, I realized I don't want to justify away that my life had no purpose. I wanted my life to have a purpose. And of course, she's not saved, and she doesn't believe in, you know, the things of God necessarily. But she knew that there's something more to life than just being here.
Yeah.
And we know that too. There's something more to life than just being here,
yeah.
That we should have a purpose. And there are lots of purposes for us, but the greatest purpose is what he's got for us to do. And so if we're not progressing into that, then what are we doing here? I remember being a little kid. And I pondered a lot of things that maybe little kids don't really think about, or I guess I don't think kids really think about, but I remember often pondering death. I know that's weird, right? But I would think about that, and I would think to myself, I remember this so clearly from a young age all the way up. I remember thinking, how is this like what happens? How is it that we're just here, and then one day we die, and like that's it? This doesn't seem right to me. And I just remember thinking, like, something seems wrong in that.
Yeah.
Something doesn't seem right. And I remember asking my mom, like, how come, Mom, like, this is how it is? Like, we just die one day and then that's it? Like, is this, you know, I was searching for God. I didn't know it. But I remember thinking, even as a little kid, like, life's got to have some sort of purpose.
Yeah.
And I would watch, my parents are such hard workers. I mean, they raised me to work really hard. That was their, I mean, so hard. Like, they worked so hard, have always. They're retired now. It blesses me so much. They take a little cabin. They built a cabin on the back of their pickup truck, and they go all over the place in this little cabin on the back of their pickup truck. And it blesses me so much because they worked so hard their whole entire lives for everything.
Yeah.
And but I remember thinking, people just work so hard, and they just like work and work and work and work and work, and they have families and they raise kids, and the kids get old and they leave them, and that's so sad, and people come and go, and it's so sad, and then we all just somehow, it just ends someday. There's something weird about that. There's something amiss.
Yeah.
And she didn't really know how to answer me, you know, at the time or ever. And now I know that that isn't what there is to life.
Right.
That is not what there is. We are here for a purpose.
Right.
We're here for such time as this.
Yeah.
There are people that are living here at the same time as us, and our purpose in life is to reach them for the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
We have that role. We are ministers of the gospel.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be qualified because we're not doing what we're supposed to do with it. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Philippians 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Philippians 3. Hope you're getting something out of this. I love knowing my purpose.
Yeah.
I remember Alyssa here one time said to me years ago, we've known her since she was younger than Ezra. she said to me years ago, she said, I just wish like someone would tell me exactly what I have to do. And then I just do it. Well, this is what I'm doing today. I'm telling you exactly what you have to do, and then you just do it.
Yeah.
Then you just do it. And it does leave a lot of guesswork out of it, doesn't
yeah.
it? You know, and I think that's what God intended for us. I'll just show you. I'll spell it all out for you.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to think. You don't need to worry about it. I told you what to do. It's easy. I felt you follow the manual, and of course it's more than a manual, but it is a manual.
Yes.
All right, Philippians 3, 12 through 15. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not that I have already attained. This is the Apostle Paul. He's saying, I am not a know-it-all.
Yeah.
I don't know it all yet.
Yeah.
I don't know it all yet, or am I already perfected? And that means to make complete. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. When Christ saved us, he connected us with him. You know, I remember one time we went tubing in the Adirondacks. Ezra was little, and she had to be tethered to my husband in her little tube, and he also had the cooler tethered to him. I think he's told the story he didn't get very far because that weight was holding him back. He couldn't really get down the river. We're all going, hey, this is so much fun. Floating down the river, going real fast, like walking and pulling on his stuff. You are tethered to Jesus. You're tethered to God. Are we slowing down the progression of what he's trying to do on this earth? Are we helping him go?
Right.
Are we weighing him down with our stuff, with our refusal to float and go right along with him? Are we fighting? Are we kicking against the pricks? Or, you know, are we like the Apostle Paul was doing, right? Are we fighting it, or are we letting him take us with him?
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am a flight attendant today.
Oh,
or a karate ninja. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, everybody say, I do.
I do.
Yeah. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind, those things that you've dealt with. I don't care if it's, you know, something that happened to you or something you did. Forget those things that are behind. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if is anything you think otherwise, God will reveal it even this to you. God will reveal what he has for you as we're able to understand it. But if we're not interested, he won't be able to get it over to us. Yep, if we're not interested in more, we won't have the more. Test yourself. You don't already know everything. You don't. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. In the West, it says it's God breathed.
Yeah.
And is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for conviction, correction, for instruction or improvement in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be complete, this is verse 17, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, for thoroughly equipped and complete for everything God has for us to do. So every scripture can teach us something. Every scripture can give us some sort of instruction, some sort of equipment that will help us to go out and be those ministers of the gospel. That's what it's for. You know that every scripture is not just so that you cannot feel sad anymore, so that you cannot, you know, have to worry about this or that. You're not supposed to worry, but what I'm saying is the scripture doesn't come just to solve your problem. The scripture is there to equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry. My husband shared this last night, and this has happened to us so many times over the years, that when we're going through something, when we're going through a trial of our relationship or with our children or in our minds or in our finances or in our bodies, whatever it is, God often will send somebody right in our path that's going through a trial just the same, or maybe a little bit worse. And then it'll remind us, okay, we're not the only ones who deal with stuff. And we'll notice ourselves preaching the gospel message to help somebody else's situation and getting our help at the same time. But when we focus so much on our own stuff, when we're sitting there curled up in a ball on our bed crying because hell is coming after us and God must not love us and so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that and I'm never going to make it through this and I'm never going to get beyond this and blah, 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 and the sky is raining a cloud just over my head only. God always has something for us to get out of that with. And typically, it's by doing his work. So as we minister to others, God will minister to us. It's just like with water when we sow into the kingdom of God. As we sow, God sows into us. As we water, we get water. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
True story, I did have a cloud following me the other day. I know this is a rabbit trail, but it's true. I wanted to go take a walk, no rain in the forecast, no rain anywhere, blue skies, except for right over my head, over my house, was a dark cloud that started to rain. And I was like, this is so weird. And so I started walking, and I was like, it is seriously following me. True story. Was that a sign? No, just kidding. Scripture is meant to complete us, to perfect us. If you can't be proven wrong by the word, something's wrong.
Yeah.
If it's your way or the highway, even if God said otherwise, something is wrong. Are you exalting yourself above God? If you can't come back years later and understand something better, something is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, the older I get, the more I understand.
Yes.
Really.
Yeah.
And the more I realize that I didn't understand it when I thought I understood it. Right?
Yeah.
I know my kids are so funny. I get more effective in life as I get older. I've learned that some stuff's not worth wasting time. You just take care of it and get it over with.
Yeah.
Like my kids might take 3 hours to fold a basket of laundry and I take 5 minutes. It's true.
Yeah.
They may take an hour to get the dishes done and I take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. You get more effective as life goes on.
Right.
And you should get more effective with the things of God as life goes on. The things that used to trip you up shouldn't trip you up. The things that used to get you all screwed up in your head shouldn't get all screwed up in your head anymore. You progress.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We need to hone our effectiveness. Let's go to Ephesians. We're going to stay in there for a couple different chapters here. Ephesians 2. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to get through this message today.
Amen.
And hopefully you're going to come out shining like a new diamond.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 2:10. Praise God. We've heard these scriptures before, but we need to be reminded.
Right.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not that we will definitely walk in them, not that we are walking in them, but we should walk in them.
Yeah.
He prepared them for us. We should walk in them. Are we going to?
Yeah, that's
right. Let's skip down to Ephesians 4:11. It's like a next page over. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect, that means complete, man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He gave us ministers. Okay, this can apply to you as well, right? Yeah. You can help equip each other because you can minister to each other through the word.
Yes.
But he gave us ministry offices. He gave us people to teach us and to show us things and to guide us according to the word so that it would equip us to go out and do the work of the ministry.
Right.
You are ministers of the gospel. You're supposed to be qualified and entrusted with that deposit put in you to go out and reach the lost. I have this sphere of influence. I see this many people fit into this bubble of my, you know, world.
Yeah.
And you see your own bubble. Sometimes they overlap. It's like a Venn diagram. But you have more people in your bubble than I'm going to have in my bubble. And then the person sitting next to you has other people in their bubble. And so as we expand and expand and expand, like somebody bubbling up a glass of milk, we should reach more and more people and encapsulate more and more people in that kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
That is God's intent. That's how what he meant. That's why Jesus had to go. So that more Jesuses could be produced on this earth. Because Jesus could only go so far. He only had such a bubble. We can go further, but if we won't go further because we're living in our own little bubble, then we're not going to reach those people. Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but we've got to do his work. We need to be continually equipped. It means that word equipping means complete furnishing. Our temples, our persons, completely furnished in order to do his works. Do you know that I looked it up? This is the only place in Scripture that it talks about us being equipped like that.
Wow.
The only place. So you know that there's a very important thing that comes when we all come together and when you come and you sit before your man or woman of God and you get the gospel message preached to you, there's something that you can only get in that situation. That's what that tells me. I looked all through the Scripture. I went in, I was like, what about the other meanings of that word? I looked up that. Is that in Scripture? Is there any Greek or Hebrew word that means that? Nope. The only place in Scripture that we get that equipping is through those ministry offices that Jesus died and left us with. Well, his priority was to set up a way for us to be the church. That was his priority when he left. He said the Holy Spirit's going to come to live on the inside of you, and he's going to be your guide. But I'm going to give some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip you, to fully furnish you to do the work of the ministry. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
You are being furnished in here today.
Yeah.
There's all this furniture out here for you to take hold of, all this equipment. But if you won't grab hold of it and your vessel's empty, then you're not going to have anything to put out there to those other people. It is your job to equip others to do the work of the ministry out there.
Yeah.
That is your job. Praise the Lord. Notice in Ephesians 4, Jesus gave those who administered to us in order to equip us. Where is our equipping? What is the equipment? It's the knowledge of him. And it's my job, my husband's job, to equip you and to feed you that knowledge. But again, you don't know unless you do. If you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer of it, you've deceived yourselves. You don't actually know any of it. You only know it when you do it. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. Praise God. Are you willing? Are you willing to be obedient to him? Even unto death of yourself and your own desires and your own will. Are you willing to be obedient, to be a doer of his word, to be a minister of his gospel? So many people put, you know, the responsibility of ministering the word to the minister in the pulpit.
Yeah.
But really, more ministering of the word should be taking place every day, everywhere else. More so. We're here for an hour on a Sunday morning and sometimes on a Tuesday night, or if you come to the Saturday night, we're here for this amount of time.
Yeah.
The word should be being ministered all the time, continually, to everyone.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that's the reverential fear.
Yeah.
That means I don't want to upset my God. I don't want to displease my God. I don't want to hurt my God. I want my God to be... have that sweet-smelling aroma coming from my life.
Yes.
That's what it means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you don't like being corrected and you don't like the wisdom and instruction of the Word of God and you don't like it, that means you're being a fool. Now, you may like it in certain areas. You may like it when it comes to this is how my wife should treat me or this is how my husband should treat me. I love that word. Okay, but you might not like it when you hear about this is what I should do for other people or this is what, you know, I should do for the kingdom of God. Yeah. It says you're a fool if you despise wisdom and instruction. Too many Christians fight the wisdom of God, resisting their help the whole time, resisting the fullness of his plan in you. So the more we fight his word, the more we refuse to listen to it and be a doer of it, the more we're resisting his plan. Let's just pull up Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6, most of you probably even know what this scripture says. It says, my people, that means you and I, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. There's a lot in that scripture, but the principle I want to pull out is that if we don't have that knowledge, if we won't accept that knowledge, we will see destruction. Yeah, right. Destruction comes, and it's not God hammering down destruction on. It's like I said during tithes and offerings, if we won't plug in and keep that connected, we're not going to have the protection. We're not going to have the salvation. If we're refusing an area of salvation, we're not going to have the full salvation of God. We might go to heaven, but I'm talking about on this earth. So we need to stay connected to that and keep growing in our knowledge. Hallelujah. Oh, gosh. Let's go to, let's go to Proverbs 3. I think you're in Proverbs. Yeah. You should be. Yeah. Proverbs 3, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hope you're getting something out of this today. You know, you can be excited to receive the word, but it's what comes after that is the true test. Yeah. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say, I trust in the Lord. It's my job. All right? It's my job to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let the word of God divide your will, your thoughts, your way of doing things from his understanding, his will, his way of doing things. Right. You trust in the Lord, and that's what that looks like. Yeah. Let his word direct you. Right. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He will help you walk out this life. My husband said last night, blessing is like this blessing in the life of a believer and one who's God and walking according to his ways. It attracts you. Blessing in life just comes to you. I had this visual of that bug zapper. Remember those bug zappers? They're so obnoxious, but they do work. Yeah. At least they attract bugs. Those light things, those blue light things, and you'd hear bzz, 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 all night long. Don't ever have it outside of a window that you're trying to sleep near. But that's how blessing is in the life of a Christian. We don't have to even go searching for blessing. Right. Our treasure is the Word of God. As we search and dig into this, then the blessing comes to us. Yeah. The things we need come to us. The things that, the desires of our heart, they're just fulfilled. Right. The things that make us happy, the things that make us smile, the things that bring us joy in life, they just come. Yeah. It's just attracted to us, like the bugs to the zapper.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you acknowledge him in all your ways and let him direct your paths. His path is clear. It's smooth sailing. It's got everything you need right there, ready to grab it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:7, the next verse, it says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What is evil? The word says those who know to do right and don't. That's sin.
Right.
Evil is anything against what God is showing us to do. Right. Evil's not just murderers. It's not just those criminals out there. Evil is when we do anything opposite of what God has showed us to do.
Right.
So do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear and reverence the Lord and depart from anything that's not him. Are you living the same way you've always lived? What have you bettered in your life? What has grown and developed? What have you cut out of your life? What do you still need to cut out of your life? Yeah. Do not be wise in your own eyes, yeah. Right? Get rid of those things you should get rid of. Listen, I don't have to come and say, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing this. You know. Yeah. You know what you're doing that God doesn't want you to do. Yeah. You know it. And the longer you put off preventing and getting away from those things, the harder it is to get away from them. Yeah. You ever have that happen? There's a relationship we tell our kids, do not get yourself all wrapped up in emotional relationships. Yeah. Don't do it. You know, high schoolers who are dating and all the drama and the, she was talking to that boy and it hurt my feelings, or she broke up with me, or he wants this from me, or she wants this from me, and I'm not ready for that, but if I don't do it, they're probably going to leave me. All that wrapped up stuff, that's wisdom in your own eyes. But you know what happens? The more you go down that path, the more you hook up to that situation, the harder it is to get out of it. The more emotional it is, the more you think you know. But I love them. No, you don't. You're lusting after them. You love the attention that it gets you. You love the drama associated with it. You know that. People love drama. That's why television is so popular, because there's so much drama. People love drama. The longer you go down a path where you know you're not supposed to go, the harder it is to get away from it. That is what I'm saying. It can be anything. It can be addictions. It can be taking on extra stuff you're not supposed to be doing and you know you're not supposed to be doing it. It can be the way, you know, in a marriage. Some marriages, they go down a path, you know, and no one will forgive the other person. And so the longer you go in this unforgiveness, the longer you go, the more distance you put between you and the real covenant and the real blessing, and the harder it is to get back to that. The harder it is to find joy again. And so you want to break that cycle before you get too far in. And you think you're stronger than you are, and this is not in my notes. You think you're stronger. Think you can keep going down that path, but you're going to end up trapped, you're going to end up snared, and you're going to wonder why you got there. You got there because you didn't listen to them. Right. There's stuff in your life you got to put down. There's stuff in your life that you know better than to do, doing it. Put it down before it snares you to no return. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:2, just go a couple more pages over. Praise the Lord. 18:2. Mm-hmm. It says, a fool, there's that word again, has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Is your life an expression of your own heart, your own mind, your own emotions, your own will? Because if it is, the Bible says you're a fool. A fool has no delight in this understanding, but delights in expressing and having what they want in their own flesh. Right. That's a fool. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Skip over to the next page. There's a lot of stuff in here. Yeah, we're staying in Proverbs for a minute here. Yeah. Proverbs 19:21. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. I have this written down in my Bible. There are many devised thoughts in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's purpose, that's what will stand. Yeah. The Lord's purpose will stand. And what it means by stand, that'll stand the test of time. Right. That'll stand against the fire. Yeah. Yeah. That'll stand against the trial. Right. It's the Lord's counsel. It's the Lord's plans and his purposes, his will. They can stand. They're the rock. Right. Your plans are the sand. You build your life on that sand, it'll come and it'll be destroyed. Yeah. But you build your life on that rock, on his word, on his principles, and it will stand. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, and we're still in Proverbs. Skip back. And I didn't even do this on purpose, but it's when you're flipping through pages. Yeah. Proverbs 4, verse 7. Hallelujah. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. That means it is number one. Yeah. It's key. Right. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. I'm going to read this with filling in that word wisdom. And I believe this is not a stretch or a twisting of scripture, but I'm going to read this again. God's wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get God's wisdom. And you could even write that right in your Bible. It's God's wisdom it's talking about.
Right.
And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt God's wisdom, and God's wisdom will promote you. God's wisdom will bring you honor when you embrace it. God's wisdom will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. God's wisdom will deliver to you. When we live his life, this life with his wisdom in operation and his wisdom as the principal thing, we wake up in the morning, what does God want me to do today? What does God say about this situation? What does God say about the words in my mouth or the thoughts that are going on in my head? What's God's wisdom tell me about this? God's wisdom will bring you all those things you desire in life. Your wisdom cannot get you the things that God's wisdom will bring you. Your hard work and striving with your you out.
Yes.
But when you use his wisdom, you'll be refreshed. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's his wisdom. You don't know it all. Everybody repeat after me. I don't know it all. I don't know it all. So I need God. And so we trust him here. We respect the fact that God put his word here for us. We honor that. We treat it with the principle that it should be. And we will live according to the things he's got for us.